bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
I'm still continuing my series on life in the Spirit, and this will be part 8. But last week, I didn't finish all that I had prepared to share under actions of the Spirit. So I had a couple of thoughts unfinished. So this is unfinished business from last week. So it's Life in the Spirit Part 8, subtitle Actions of the Spirit B, because last week was A and I couldn't finish. So if you remember last week, we used actions in the Spirit of Jesus to talk about the actions of our spirit. And we talked about two things about the Spirit of Jesus, that his spirit was troubled. And we talked about when he was at the Last Supper and he was also at the tomb of Lazarus, his spirit was troubled. And so we talked about the fact that sometimes our spirits get troubled or restless or stirred up or bothered. And then we also said that Jesus was able to perceive in his spirit. We talked about Jesus when the scribes were doubting him, and Jesus also when the woman with the issue of blood had touched him, and Jesus perceived that virtue had gone out of him. So those are the two actions of the Spirit that we talked about. So we talk about two more and just wrap up actions in the Spirit. And the third action of the Spirit, because I'm continuing from where we left off last week, is sighing deeply in the Spirit. Sighing deeply in the Spirit. It's a very unusual action that is attributed to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so the reference is in Mark's Gospel chapter 8 and verses 11 to 13. And it says, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. I want you to highlight and underline verse 12. He sighed deeply in his spirit. He sighed deeply in his spirit. Take note of that phrase. It's a very important phrase. And then I want you to take note of verse 13, where it says, he left them. He left them. Jesus would normally go to people, even when they hadn't asked him for help, he would go to them. And when they asked for help, of course, he went to them. And Jesus was careful to answer everybody's question. When people ask, who is your neighbor? He will answer who the neighbor is. They ask questions, he will answer. Most of Jesus' teaching was based on answering questions and helping people. People say, Lord, help me, he helps them. Have mercy on me, he has mercy on them. Cleanse me, he cleanses them. But this is an instance where people ask Jesus a question and he didn't answer. He didn't answer the question. So it seems quite unusual of Jesus for people to ask him a question and he wouldn't answer. And then not only would he not answer, but he just left them. He just left them. People ask a question, Lord, give us a sign from heaven. And he just looked at them, sighed deeply in his spirit, and left them. So this is a very unusual behavior of Jesus. And it is prompted by the sighing in his spirit. So We just want to explore further what it means to sigh deeply in his spirit. So to sigh deeply means to be inwardly wearied or saddened, to be inwardly wearied, tired. It's almost like I give up. I give up. That phrase, sighed deeply, is used only once in the New Testament. Only once. In fact, in the whole Bible, it's used only once in either its Greek form or in the Hebrew form. It's only used once and only in this instant. So it's a very, very, very unusual action of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He got to this point, and it's not a usual place to get to, but he got there. He was inwardly wearied and tired. Now, the passage did not simply say Jesus sighed. There are other times that Jesus sighed, and then he would do something and bless people and heal people and so on. But sighed deeply in his spirit, it occurs only once in the scriptures. So what is going on here? Jesus sensed insincerity and willful ignorance. He sensed the hearts of the Pharisees who came to him. They came to Jesus repeating the same questions, same arguments, and their attitudes were the same. They asked Jesus, "Give us a sign from heaven." After Jesus had given them all the signs, people have been healed, blind have seen, cripples are walking, demons are being cast out, they still say, "Give us a sign," this time not on the earth, but in the heaven. So they are not asking a question or making a demand because they genuinely need help, but they are determined not to believe Jesus. No matter what he does, if he showed them a sign from heaven, they will say, "Show us a sign in the sea." And then they will say, "Show us a sign in the valley." I mean, they're going to continually make a demand from Jesus, not because they seek help, but because they just want to dispute him. And the Spirit of Jesus sensed it. And for the first time, he's asked a question and he doesn't answer, and he turns away from the people and leaves them alone. It's a very strange behavior of Jesus Christ. Similarly, I believe our spirits can also respond as Jesus responded. Our spirits can sometimes lead us away from persistently dishonest people. Sometimes you get there. I'm not talking about when you're just frustrated with somebody or tired with somebody. That happens all the time. But sometimes you get to a point where you know that this person, this situation is not going to change. I give up. And that's where Jesus is. These people are not going to change. They're not going to repent. I give up. And he turned away. And it doesn't always happen, but once in a while, spiritually, you can have that sense. And it could be that you're dealing with somebody or something. Usually, it has to deal with salvation or preaching the gospel, but sometimes it has to deal with just life. For example, you know, you're going to marry somebody. You've decided, "Oh, this is the young man I want to marry. This is the young lady I want to marry." And then they behave in a certain way. Probably they are having affairs and they have it over and over. Or they are cheating or they are lying. And every time they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And you know, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then it gets to a point where your spirit sighs deeply. It's almost like something inside you quit. and you turn away. Now, when you get to that point, and you don't get there ordinarily, it's not an easy place to get to. As I said, Jesus got there once. But if you get to that point and you persist to stay, you'll be hurt. Because you'll be violating an impulse of your spirit that is a result of persistent, consistent dishonesty without any intention to change. And sometimes it can be dealing with somebody. And when your spirit gets to that point, obey your spirit. Obey your spirit. Because if you persist, you will hurt yourself. It means God has brought you to the point where he's telling you, as much as he's a God of mercy, he's a God of kindness, he's a forgiving God, and you must forgive 70 times 7. You have now forgiven 70 times 7. Now the person is determining, is asking for 80 times 8. And you say, this one is not scriptural. We've gone beyond the scripture. Because the guy is having an affair after affair. He's chasing girls. He's chasing girls. He says, I love you. I will marry you. But chasing girls, chasing girls, chasing girls, chasing girls. Lying to you. Stealing your money. 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 I forgive you. Stealing the money. One day your spirit will say, oh, turn around and move on. Are you following me? Jesus got there. And it's not an easy place. I don't want you to just move from church today and see a friend and say, you, my spirit has died. I'm leaving you. That's not what I'm talking about. Build relationships, work on difficulties with people. But these are people who are demanding something, who are asking for something without any intention whatsoever to be convinced. Nothing Jesus said was going to convince them. And he sighed. And for me, what really got me is he turned away. Do you understand what it means for Jesus to turn away from you? He says, what are you guys? What is this generation asking for? I will not give it to you. I won't give it to you. And turn away. Jesus, whom people say raise the dead, he doesn't say, I won't do it. He will raise the dead. Heal me. He will heal them. My daughter is sick. And the guy is not even a Jew. He says, I will come and heal. Jesus doesn't resist anybody. But these guys, not in his mouth, but in his spirit. And he just turned and said, let's go, disciples. We are done here. Once in a while, you will get to that place spiritually. And if you persist, you will hurt yourself. And people have hurt themselves terribly in relationships because they got to that point and still felt they were better than Jesus. And went ahead. And the person really hurt you deeply. Now you are saying, I should have listened. Yes, you should have listened. Because when your spirit sighs deep inside you, listen. It is God delivering you from trouble. It's one of the dynamics of our spiritual work with God, that God is able to deliver us from long-term pain by warning us ahead of time of people who have no intention ever under any circumstance to repent. So far, we've talked about three actions of the spirit, being troubled in the spirit. And I said, if you're troubled in the spirit, you have to pray in the spirit. Perceiving things in the spirit, sighing deeply in the spirit. There is always a point of no return that sometimes God will warn you about. It doesn't always happen easily, but it happens. And there are certain relationships that God is going to move you away from permanently sometimes. Permanently. Because that relationship is destructive. And he will move you away from it. And when you get there, just trust God and obey him. Just move on with your life. The last action of the Spirit, we're just considering four, there are many, but because I'm making Jesus the model, I'm focusing on four, as Jesus handled them, so we learn how to handle them. This is a more positive one. Rejoicing in the Spirit. Rejoicing in the Spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Luke chapter 10, 21 and 22. This is after Jesus had sent the 70 of his disciples to go out and evangelize and pray for the sick, and they came out very excited about the results that they had received. So this is how the scripture records Jesus' reaction to what had happened. In that hour, I like that phrase, in that hour, that moment, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The word rejoice means to be glad, to be joyful. In a literal sense, it means to cover yourself with joy. Joyful. Cover yourself. It's like wearing a garment that covers you from head to toe, and the garment is called joyful. So it's not just about being happy momentarily. Oh, ha, 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 I'm happy. Oh, ho, 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 he's good. No, it's where your whole being is saturated with this joy. Something happens on the inside of you, and it just fills you entirely with the joy of the Lord. And that's what Jesus experienced at this time, when the disciples came and said, Lord, even the devils were subject to us in your name. And at that time, at that moment, he rejoiced. Jesus did not rejoice in his spirit all the time. There were times he's troubled in the spirit. There's time he's perceiving in his spirit. There's time he's sighing deeply in his spirit. But at this hour, in this spot, at this moment, his spirit was very joyful, because something has happened that made his life worth it. And the reason, one of the reasons why Jesus was joyful, was because this is what he came to do. He came for this purpose, and he's about to go to the cross to die, resurrect, and ascend to heaven. He has a short time. And he has to be certain that his disciples have gotten everything he's taught them. And when they came with the report, in spite of all the trouble and wahala they have given to Jesus, he says, whew, they got it. Finally, they got it. And so his spirit rejoiced.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.